Morning, church. Morning to those who are online. Thank you for joining us for worship today. I wanted to mention this because Deb told me today, she heard from a friend, that some churches have started doing online services, have stopped. I want you to know we are not going to stop doing online services. So you'll be able to see it. You know, if you're not feeling well and you need to stay home, you can catch us online. If you're traveling, you can catch us online. And that's not something that's going away. That's something that's here to stay at Northgate. So just wanted you to know that in case you ever wondered how to find us online. You can catch us on Facebook and also on our website. I need you to do something for me this morning, okay? Pastor John is feeling a little bit under the weather. He was going to be bringing this service, and I know he's watching online, so John, I'm going to do my very best for you. He prepared the message that I'm going to deliver today. I made a few tweaks to it, just places where I needed to kind of be more of me than John, but essentially this is his message. So here's what I need you to do. I need you to imagine me 20 years younger, not quite as tall and much funnier, okay? And then you'll be in good shape, all right? But we do pray for John to feel better real soon, and I'm sorry he can't be here today, but I'll do my best. So we are in a series on from Acts, and we've been calling it Life-Changing Power. We've been looking at the power that God gives to us through the Holy Spirit. And I have a little quiz for you this morning. It's an either-or, all right? Pick one or the other. Would you rather go to the mountains or to the beach? All the mountain people, raise your hand. All right, down, beach people. Ah, okay, more beach people, I think, maybe just a few. Would you rather camp at a park or sail on the ocean? Park people. All right, ocean people. Oh, I'm surprised. That's good. Okay. Serve in the Army or the Navy? Army people?
Navy.
That has to say that. Yeah. I know some of you are, what? There's no choice about that one, right? Navy people.
Navy.
All right. Would you rather travel by train or by boat? Train. Boat. Okay. What did all of those choices have in common? There was something they all had in common. Water is the thing. Water is the thing. Yeah, they all had water in common, because today we're going to be talking about water. Water is one of God's really, truly amazing creations, isn't it? You know, our bodies are 60% water, right? We can't survive without water. We cleanse with water. We clean things with water. We play in the water, right? We need it. We drink it. It can be liquid, gas, solid, rain, sleet, or yesterday at my house in the afternoon, I actually saw a little bit of snow, right? It's coming. When they're, you know, it's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. A nice, you know, kind of gentle, warm shower. I actually like to run in those days, you know, when it's just kind of a nice, gentle rain and it's warm. I enjoy being out and running in that. But too much water can destroy, right? Some of us from Northgate went to Gulfport, Mississippi years ago after Hurricane Katrina, and it was astounding to see houses that once were on this block all the way down on a block down there, because the water had come up and taken the house, lifted it, and just moved it right down the street. Actually lived through something similar in Gowanda when I was living there and pastoring. We went through a flood. No houses were moved off their foundations, but some houses were totally destroyed. It was quite a thing. So water can be wonderful, but it also can be very destructive. And today we're going to be concluding this series in the book of Acts, looking at an account in Acts 27 is where we're going to be, where water became the source of a lot of fear and anxiety for people. I want to let you know, next week we have a special weekend. It's one of our three intergenerational weekends. We've done them earlier this year. We highlighted young kids and then we highlighted youth and young adults. And this coming weekend, next weekend, we're going to highlight people like me, seniors, okay? Us old folks are going to get our turn. So we have a special guest coming to preach next weekend, and I think many of you are going to be very excited when you find out who it is. And those who don't know, who won't know him, I think you'll be just glad you're here too. So that's next weekend. But today, we're going to finish up this series in Acts. It's been a six-week series. And we've been talking, as I said, about the power that God gives us and the power he gave that early church. You know, you think about it, a handful of people in a little Middle Eastern nation began to share a message about a guy they believed had died and risen from the dead, and now we're here in Batavia, New York, and all around the world today, people are worshiping Jesus Christ because of the power that God gave them to stay true to that message and to spread it to everybody that they could. We have looked in this series at spirit power, courageous power, heart-changing power, uniting power, resilient power. Today, we're going to talk about hopeful power. Hopeful power. Now, if you know the stories of Jesus, you know one very famous story. We like to share it. We like to read it. It's the story of Jesus and his disciples in a boat on the Sea of Galilee. You know this story, right? And what happens? A storm comes up on that sea, and it frightens these very experienced and seasoned fishermen. They knew water. I mean, they've been on that water many times, and I'm sure they've been through storms many times. But this storm was something unusual. It scared them to death. You know, of course, Jesus is sleeping. They have to wake him up and say, help, you know, and Jesus calms the water. He calms the storm and calms their fears. And we like to share that story because it's a good lesson. It's a good teaching story for us, especially with children, right? To share that story and say, you know, Jesus is with us in those storms. So we can take courage in the fact that Jesus is going to be with us through all of the difficult things that we go through. And you and I go through stormy times in life, don't we? Some of you are going through them right now. Storms are things like job loss or illness or raising teenagers. And teenagers, don't be offended. I was one once, and I made life much harder on my parents than I needed to. It can be hard to raise teenagers. It can be hard to be a teenager. COVID is certainly a storm, financial struggles. Just think about anything that causes you to lose sleep or stay awake at night. It's probably a storm, right, that you're experiencing that is putting you in that place. Life storms happen to us all, and they are opportunities for God to build our courage and to build our faith. We can be absolutely sure that God will not abandon us or leave us alone in storms. He is with us always. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you can have that confidence that when you're in a boat going through a storm, Jesus is with you in that moment. He is right there with you. One more thing about storms, they do pass, not always as quickly as we want them to, not necessarily on our timetable or in the way that we'd like them to, but you know in that story in Mark chapter 4, Jesus said, "Quiet, be still," and the winds immediately died down. That storm did pass. And some of you are waiting right now for the storm in your life to pass, and it's taking longer than you want it to. And my word to you today is hang on. Hang on to your faith. Hang on to your confidence in God. Trust Him. He will get you through this, but don't abandon your faith in the midst of the storm. The main point of this message is at times life will bring damage, but that does not have to destroy your faith. It'll happen. You're going to be in a storm if you're not in one now. And what do you do then? Well, that's what we're going to learn from the Apostle Paul as we look in Acts chapter 27. You'll be glad to know last weekend Pastor John had a whole lot to cover, and he did it very well, but he had six chapters of Acts to cover. By the way, how many of you have been reading along in Acts as we've gone through this series? Somebody give me a hand, give me encouragement. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. But he had to cover a lot of Acts last week. This week we're going to be covering one chapter, Acts 27, and then a little bit from Acts 28. And the story, the line that we're following is Paul's trip to Rome. So if you're not familiar with the story of Acts and the story of Paul in particular, Paul was arrested for preaching about Jesus. That's why he was arrested. And he was to stand trial, but as a Roman citizen, he had the right to appeal to Caesar in Rome. And so he did, and Governor Felix and King Agrippa agreed to send Paul there. And in chapter 27, we pick up the story about Paul sailing for Rome to go to trial for preaching about Jesus. He's on a ship full of prisoners, and the crew and others are on board. And they're going to change ships a few times. They're going to sail from port to port. It really is kind of interesting to read Acts 27 and realize that Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, is recording where he's recording their itinerary. The Bible is a historically true book. So when you read that we went here, we went here, we went here, that's what they did. They traveled from port to port to port, making their way to Rome. And things are going pretty well until verse 7 of Acts 27, when they have changed ships and they are sailing for Italy. and the wind starts to come against them. This is the warning. This is, okay, this is, things are not going our way right now. The wind is starting to push back against us. And with a lot of difficulty, they finally arrive at a place called Fair Havens. Doesn't that sound like a place you'd like to take a vacation? Let's go to Fair Haven. Sounds wonderful, right? In verses 9 and 10, we get this update from Paul. Much time had been lost, and sailing had already become dangerous because by now it was after the Day of Atonement, which means it was probably late October. So Paul warned them, "Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo, and to our own lives also." Paul was a very smart man. And Paul apparently knew something about seasons and when the sailing was safe and when it was not safe. And he could see the signs. The wind is coming against them already. He said, it's not a good idea for us to go on. We should stay right here for the winter. We should not try to go any further towards Rome. He sees that. He knows that. But he's powerless to do anything about it. Have you ever been in that kind of a situation? Have you ever seen the storm coming, maybe in your life, maybe in someone else's life, and you've seen it, you know what's going to happen if this continues, and you issue the warning, you tell people, this is not the way you want to go, this is not a good thing, this is not the direction you want to take, and they aren't listening to you, and you can't do anything about it. It's a horrible place to be. It's a very uncomfortable place to be because we are powerless in those moments to change the course. We can see it, we know it, but we can't stop it. And that's very difficult. And sometimes, this is the truth, sometimes we are powerless to avoid the storms and to prevent the trouble. That's a reality. Sometimes we are simply powerless to do anything about it. I'll let you in on a little secret. Deb is worried about me as I grow old, or should say older, okay? Because I have some very set routines that I like to do in the morning. I think I've shared them with you once or twice. I'm not gonna go through them now, but I just have these set routines. I like things to be very orderly, right? And this is how I do it in the morning, and it works well for me. And it's kind of like how I wanna run my life, you know? I like to know what's coming. I like to put it in order. I like to have it go step by step. And Deb is worried that as I get older, I'm going to become more difficult to live with because I'm going to be too demanding about my steps or how things go. And I hope that's not true for her sake, but it certainly is possible, right? So pray for her. But here's the thing. There's nothing wrong with routines, and there's nothing wrong with setting our lives in order, and there's nothing wrong with being prepared for things and all of that. As long as we understand this, there are going to be times in our life we are absolutely powerless. Things are going to come into our life, or things are going to come to us that we can't do anything about, and they're going to disrupt all of that order and all that routine, and we have to be prepared for that. We have to know how to get through those times. It's true about so many things in life. People in our congregation this year have been hit with a diagnosis of cancer. They weren't expecting that, didn't want it, and it disrupted their lives in serious ways. They've had to deal with that. Some of you have experienced that with a family problem. Some of you I know, I've talked with, have watched people you love suffer with an addiction. And you're powerless to stop it. You can see it. You know what they need to do. You know where this is taking that individual, and you just can't do anything to stop it. And that's hard. We could all stand up and testify about a time when we lost control, right, over something very meaningful and important in our lives. Sometimes we're powerless to avoid the storms and prevent the trouble. Well, let's go on and see what happens next. Paul warns against continuing the trip at this point, but the men in charge, the owner of the ship, the captain of the guard, they don't listen to his advice. They're gonna push on. In fact, just to make sure that this is what they should do, they take a vote. They ask everybody on the boat, what do you want to do? And the majority says, let's go. And here's just a side note, okay? There are times the majority is going to be absolutely wrong, okay? All right, just because the majority says this is what we ought to do does not mean this is what we ought to do. You know what your mother told you, right? If everybody else jumped off a bridge, would you jump off the bridge too? You know, of course not, right? All right, so it's the majority is wrong, but they decide we should keep going, and they sail on to try to reach Phoenix, not Arizona, so that they can spend the winter there. The decision's been made, and despite Paul's warning, there they go. If it's me, I'm getting off, okay? I'm listening to Paul, at least, you know, I would at this point. I know the rest of the story. I'm asking for a refund on the rest of that trip. But Paul has no choice. He is a prisoner. He knows what's coming, but he cannot even save himself from it because he is a prisoner on that ship. So on they go. And at first, everything seems to be good. There's a nice, gentle south wind that comes up, and they say, this is our opportunity. And they send the boat out into the water, and they think they're good. They're in good shape. Everything's going to be going to go well. But before long, cue the music to Jaws. Dun, 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 dun. Because something is coming after them. And it's not a gentle south wind. It's a hurricane force gale that's coming. And it gets there pretty quickly. And the ship gets caught up in that storm, and they can't steer the ship. They have no ability to guide that ship through the storm. They are completely at the mercy of those winds and the water. Eventually, they just stop fighting it, and they let the ship be driven along by the wind, but they know they're in trouble. They pass ropes underneath the ship. It's kind of, I'm not a sailor. I don't know how this works, but they pass ropes underneath the ship, I guess, to try to hold it together. They pull the sail down. They allow themselves to be driven by the wind, and they begin to lighten the load of the ship, I guess, to raise it up out of the water. And so they start throwing off all their cargo, everything they can. Everything that's loose gets tossed overboard. None of it makes any difference. They're still just being driven by the wind day after day. In my mind, I'm hearing Gordon Lightfoot singing The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, and I'm seeing the Andrea Gale from the movie The Perfect Storm bobbing like a toy boat in a bathtub with a boy that's very energetic and splashing a lot. Okay, that's what I'm seeing, that's what I'm hearing. And Paul and the rest of the passengers are in deep, deep trouble right now. In Acts 27, verse 20, we read this: when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss." And we can take a moment to say, yeah, sometimes you do get to say, "I told you so," right? It's in the Bible. "I told you so." Paul has that moment. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging. Again, some of you know what that feels like. Your storm wasn't a quick thing. It didn't come and go quickly, but it lasted and it lasted and it lasted, and it got darker and it got darker, and you began to sink into a kind of sadness or despair or maybe even depression, because it just felt like too much. And it says in verse 20, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. There were 276 people on board that ship, the Bible tells us. 275 of them had lost their hope. Here's the next point. Feeling powerless in persistent darkness can leave you feeling hopeless. And folks, I want to tell you, feeling hopeless and powerless is a dangerous place to be. It's a dangerous place to be. When we lose hope, when our hope is gone, we're in trouble. And we need to watch out for that. And we need to watch out for that in each other. Pastor Marcia, in her prayer this morning, several times she referenced the fact that we are family, and we are family. Church is meant to be family. If we are not family, we are not church. The Bible calls us a family, and that means that we need to be looking out for each other as members of the family, so that when we see somebody begin to lose their hope, we would step in and say, "Listen, listen. I'm here for you. I'm here for you." We need to be that kind of a church, that kind of a family. How do we find hope when we're powerless and the situation is bleak? We do it this way: by focusing on what we know, not on how things look in the moment. All right? We focus on what we know, not on how things look in the moment. When our son Matthew died at the age of 8, and I've told that story before, I won't get into it now. If you ever want to hear it, if you don't know it, I'm happy to share it with you. But our son Matthew had numerous issues, and at the age of 8, he passed away. And a woman, very well-meaning woman, said to me at the time, "You know, your marriage is probably going to break up now." And she could have said it differently, but I knew what she was saying because I was a social worker. I read and studied and I worked with people, and I knew what she was saying. What she was saying was that the statistics say that if a family, if two parents lose a child early to death, the strain on the marriage can be so severe that it can cause them to separate and divorce. I also knew this wasn't going to happen to us. I knew that with all my heart. When she said it to me, I said, there's no way that that's going to happen to us. And it wasn't just denial. I knew it wasn't going to happen because I knew that Deb and I, by the time Matthew passed away, we had something that was going to protect us. It was going to keep us together, and that was our faith in Jesus Christ. We didn't always have that. When we were younger, we didn't always have that. But God had grown our faith in Christ so strong that I knew we were certainly devastated when Matthew died, but we were also able to withstand that storm because we had Jesus with us. And it wasn't like Matthew died, oh, we better find some faith, we better go figure this out. No, we had that faith already so that when he died, we were prepared for that storm. Can I implore you, please, don't wait till the storm comes to get your faith in Christ strong and healthy. Do that now. If you're not going through a storm, you build your faith in Christ now, because when the storm comes, then you'll be ready. Sorry, I get a little excited. But I mean it. It's so we need to be working on our faith every day. And how do we do that? We read the Bible, we pray, we meet with each other, we sing worship songs, we listen to worship songs on the radio. Turn off the stuff that you're listening to and turn on the one of the Christian music stations as you're driving around. Let it minister to you. We need to build our faith constantly so that we are ready when the storms come. Paul is holding firmly to his faith in God. There is some bad news, he tells them. This ship is going to be destroyed. That's not good, but we're going to be okay. That message, this ship is going to be destroyed, that's a hard thing to say to people, right? Captain, your ship is going to be destroyed, all right? But you know, Proverbs 27 tells us that we need people in our lives who can speak the truth. Proverbs 27 says, wounds from a friend can be trusted. We need people around us who will tell us the truth even when we don't want to hear it, okay, who love us that much. So that's the next point there. We all need people who will tell us the truth but won't let us sink into hopelessness. We need truth tellers and we need encouragers. Paul doesn't gloss over the situation. He tells them the reality, but he also gives them hope. Let's read in the next passage, Acts 27, verse 23. Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. Maybe it's just me, but I imagine Paul standing on the bow of that ship, right, at the deck of the ship, and the wind is blowing his hair around and tugging at his clothes, and the rain is pelting him in the face, and he's got a tight grip on the rail, and he's standing there, and all the other men and the people are on the ship. They're down on the floor, you know, just trying to survive, and Paul says, listen to me. I have faith in God, so keep up your courage. Now, maybe that's just a movie image I have, but I imagine Paul, you know, saying that with confidence. I do. Keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God. This is what he tells them. You know, you're going to go through things. Other people are going to go through things. When other people go through things, your message to them might be, I have faith in God. So be encouraged. Because maybe at that moment, that person, their faith is dwindling. Their faith is under attack. But you can say to them, I still believe in God. Be encouraged. If you need my faith, you're welcome to it. I share that with you. That's what Paul's doing here. You know, most of the guys on this ship probably had no knowledge of Jesus. I'm sure Paul had been talking to them about Jesus, but we don't know that any of them really had belief or faith in Jesus other than the people that were traveling with Paul. But Paul says, listen, I believe in God. I do, and I trust him. So I want you to be encouraged. But by the way, the ship is a goner. Don't let anyone ever tell you that when you go through things that everything's going to come out rosy, okay? Because it may not. There will be losses, right? The storm will pass, and maybe the house is destroyed. The storm will pass, and maybe the person has passed away. There will be losses. But we can handle the losses if we are united in faith, trusting in God, encouraging one another. The ship is going on, and after 14 nights, the sailors decide to take a measurement to find out how deep the water is beneath them, and it's 120 feet down. A short time later, they take another measurement, and it's 90 feet. You know what that means. They're getting close to land, okay? And now they're really worried about the ship breaking up. Let me read on Acts 27, verse 29. Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved." So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it drift away. Here's a question for you. What do you think is going to get you out of this, but it's not? You see, some of those sailors, they thought, our only chance of surviving this is if we can get the lifeboat in the water, and we'll get in the lifeboat, leave the rest, we're going to take care of ourselves and get out of here, okay? That's what they were trusting in to get them through. And we trust in things to get us through without looking to God. We trust in other things to get us through the storms in life, right? We trust in alcohol. We trust in drugs. We trust in diversions and entertainment. We trust in a relationship, or we trust in other money, or you know, the job promotion's going to do it or something. You know, all these things are going to, they're going to get us through the storms of life, but we don't look to God. And that's where we need to be looking. Those other things are not going to help you in the serious storms of life. They're not. We need to cut them loose, let them go, and look to the Lord. Let me read on. When daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. Cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea and at the same time untied the ropes that held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach, but the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow stuck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. The crash has finally come. In life, it's the worst fears coming true. The divorce is final. You declare bankruptcy, and the house and the business are lost. The person you love passes away. The police come to the door. The doctor calls. And you know that life is never going to be the same again. Let's read on. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping, but the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to get there on planks or on other pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached land safely. Finally, they get to land. Wasn't easy. It wasn't calm, wasn't pretty, but they make it safely. And notice what they use to get to land. Planks from the ship. The ship is breaking apart, right? This thing that they were in that was supposed to be their means of getting to Italy and would be, you know, their protection and on the sea and all of that. It's breaking apart, but they're taking the pieces of the ship and they're using them to float themselves to safety. And John had a note in here, and I like how he put it. He says, and this capital just, that is just like our God, isn't it? And I think he's absolutely right. It is just like God, right? To take the thing that we were depending on, relying on, to bust it up, but to use that to get us where we need to be. Think about it. Think about the person who's finally caught in their crimes and thinks, this is the worst day of my life. Maybe not. Maybe this is the very day that God begins to turn that life around, right? And bring them to a much better place. Or the person who is driven to bankruptcy. Financial ruin may seem to be the end of all hope, but maybe that's exactly what God uses to bring a person to Christ. Or divorce. Divorce might seem to be the only the next step on a life of loneliness. But maybe it leads to a dependence on Jesus and the opportunity to discover who you are in Christ for the very first time. See, we need to look to God to help us understand, what do you want me to take out of this storm? What are you doing in my life in the midst of all of this? They all get to land safely. Think of Chuck Noland in the movie, you know, the character in Castaway, washing up on the beach. They all survive. And if this was a movie, you know, now is when the screen goes dark, the credits start to roll, you stand up and brush the popcorn off your shirt. Maybe that's just me, okay? But the thing is, this is not a movie. This is Paul's life. This is real life. This is what happened to Paul and all of those sailors. And it goes on. And I'm going to close with this. At the end of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 28, the last verses tell us what happened to Paul, because he did make it to Rome. And it says, for 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. I love Paul. You know, I'm going to walk town to town telling people about Jesus. You put me in jail, I'm going to tell people about Jesus. You put me on a ship and wreck it, I'm going to tell people about Jesus. You put me under house arrest for 2 years, I'm going to tell people about Jesus. I don't care, I can't help it. All I can do is tell people about Jesus wherever I am and whatever I'm going through. My faith is in Jesus Christ, and I'm going to tell people about Jesus. And that's what Paul does. So a couple of thoughts as we wrap up this message. If you're being tossed around by a storm, hang on. Don't sink into hopelessness. Talk to somebody, get some help, get some people around you if you need to. But cling to God and let go of anything else you might think will get you through. Secondly, if you know somebody who's going through a storm, reach out to them. Reach out to them. If you know them and you know they're struggling through something, send them a note, make a call, go visit them, take them to coffee. But let them know you're there for them. And if they need to rest in your faith for the time being, that they can. And if you're not in a storm right now, thank God. Thank God for that. And spend some time discovering just how good and faithful God is, so that when the storm comes to you, you're ready. Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks that you are faithful, that you are constant, that in the midst of a life that is always throwing things at us and often throwing things at us unexpectedly and things that can be too much for us to handle in our own human strength and power, we thank you that you are there. We thank you that we have a God who loves us so deeply that you would give your Son to die for us so that we could live. We thank you for the resurrection of Jesus Christ that gives us hope that this life is not all there is, and no matter how big the storms might be or how devastating they might be, there is more to come and there is life after this, and we are looking forward to that life. So Lord, build our faith strong. Help us to grow deep in our relationship with you so that we can withstand whatever comes at us, and we can do that to your glory. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Do you believe that this morning? Hey, don't we have a great worship team? Team of one, aren't we? We are blessed to have someone who can do that, right, for us this morning. Thank you, Anthony. Yeah, leading us to worship the Lord. It's good. It's good to be here together. Here's a takeaway. A strong faith in God gives us power over hopelessness. I believe that with all of my heart. That it's our faith in God that gives us the power to overcome those situations that would drive us to hopelessness. So build your faith in the Lord this week. Listen to him. Go in the love of God, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.